Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. Wanna be real. You wanna be emptied inside. And I know my heart is to feel you near. And I know my life is to do your will. Is to do your will. This is my desire.
Whatever belongs to your earthly nature,
sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is belongs and renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So what it's saying is, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, who you think you are, but if you're saved and Christ is in you, you're Christ. Christ is within you. You're a body of Christ no matter what you are. So don't be live in the heavens above with the Lord Jesus where he resides. And keep your minds where he is. Keep your mind in his things, because you're no longer who you used to be. You're no longer your past. Your past has been tied to a rock and threw into the lake and no longer resides in you. It's just your mind reminding or thinking of your old self. Once you forget, your old self is gone. But as long as you keep your mind in the past, you will stay there. But when you get rid of that past and think of your new life with the Lord Jesus Christ and live in his ways, then your life starts manifesting and showing who you are in Christ. And that's one of the biggest things, is set your minds on things above. In Matthew 19, 21, I'll go ahead and get into that right quick. Jesus answers, if you want to be perfect, go. Sell all your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then go follow me. And he was talking to the rich man there. There was also a rich man with him at that time, and he was asking what he needed to do. And the rich man told Jesus, he's like, I've already did everything. You know, I pay my tithes. I do this and that, all the Jewish rules. But he knew that his possessions possessed him. He says, sell all your stuff and come follow me. Keep your treasures in heaven, not in your wallet or in your bank account. So, you know, your treasures are in heaven. The heaven, what's so unique? Heaven could be many things, you know. You know, Christ builds heaven with inside you. A lot of people says heaven is here, heaven is there. And the Lord says, my kingdom is not here or there. It's within. It's within you. You know, you're going to go to a heavenly place one day. But God is creating heaven in you. The more you start looking like Jesus, the more heaven starts residing in you. The kingdom starts residing in you, because every time the Lord would go pray for people, he always said the kingdom is amongst you. When you go pray for people, say the kingdom's amongst you. So the kingdom's within you. And the heavenly place is within you. You just got to stay there. You got to stay where the kingdom is what Christ is creating in you, and his word and his spirit is creating this heaven within you, where you'll stay in that peace. You'll stay there, because once you stay in that peace and you stay in him and you know him, it starts creating that in you, and you can stay in that heavenly place. You can stay in that bliss. You can stay in that love. But when you get out of that and you get into the worldly things, it gets your mind scattered on worldly and demonic things. And I think one of the biggest problems we have at this time is, you know, we have games, we have computers, we have TV, we have the news showing negative things constantly. You know, once you get caught up in these things, it starts dragging you down from where you were, from up above to down below. And that's one thing that I really feel that we need to check on. I'm going to hand the rest of this to Robert. Go ahead, man.
Praise the Lord. You know, you said a couple of good things to us there when you was reading that scripture out of Colossians chapter 3. Paul is trying to get the body of Christ to focus on the kingdom. Jesus preached the message of the kingdom of heaven. Set your mind on things above. If we set our mind on the kingdom, Jesus even preached that in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom and its righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Set your mind on things above. Paul is trying to encourage us to think on heavenly things. Think on heavenly thoughts, the things that Jesus did for us. What did he do for us, and what did he obtain for the body for us to experience on earth? Well, when we set our mind on things above, the kingdom of heaven, then those things are going to be revealed to us and in us. It has been given unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. The kingdom is revealed to us as we seek the kingdom with diligence, as we lift up our eyes and we give our hearts to the Father so that he can manifest his glory in and through our lives. So Paul is trying to encourage us to pursue the kingdom. It's been given us unto us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. This was a comment made by Jesus to us who seek him with all diligence. You know, we're supposed to be one with him and live our lives having the same kind of mind and the thoughts that he had. Well, that man, our Lord Jesus Christ, he had the thoughts of the Father. He had the mind of the Father, and it strengthened him. Holy Spirit empowered him to go about doing signs and wonders, but it was the Father's mind that Jesus displayed, that he was empowered to having Father's thoughts, knowing Father's ways. That's what setting your mind on things above, the kingdom of heaven, where Father dwells in his presence. We have fullness of joy when we're in the presence of the living God. And then, moving on, there was a part where he breaks down in verse 4, I believe it was, verse 4 through 7, 5 through 7, where he talks about mortifying your members which are upon the earth. And so he's basically saying, don't become enslaved by the old nature again. We need to focus on the kingdom of heaven, because when we focus on the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, it's going to keep us from going back into the slavery that we were once under, the nature of the flesh, the nature of sin, the tendency to do what's contrary to the Father's will. Focusing on heaven, the kingdom, will keep us from going back into that lifestyle that was contrary, as he goes on to say, we were once those things. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to the enemy. We were slaves to the carnal nature, the fallen nature that came upon man at the fall. So Paul is trying to encourage us to keep our hearts lifted before God, stay focused on the things of God, acknowledge what Christ has done, acknowledge the promises of God, and take those promises every day and apply them to your lives, and you will not go back into that lifestyle that you once was in. So, you know, that means we have to stay focused. We have to stay focused on the things of God. We have to take and we have to chew and meditate on the word day and night, like he told Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, to put the word in him and to meditate on it day and night, to chew it and chew it and chew it, to constantly ponder it and think upon it. As we focus our hearts and our lives on the word of God, that is setting our hearts on things above. That is fixing our minds and focusing our hearts in God, so that we can walk out this life in victory that Jesus has procured for us. We are the body of Christ, and we are meant to walk in victory. We're fighting a fixed fight because Jesus already took the devil out for us. And if we set our minds on the kingdom and its righteousness and stay focused, we will not have to continuously struggle against the enemy, but we'll walk in victory, and he'll find out that he can't mess with us because we're so focused on God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I kind of understand this a lot because I know a lot of friends I knew that their mind was completely on the Lord, and before you know it, life would come around and start pulling their mind off of what they was doing and what their life was actually on, and the enemy would try to pull them away from their walk. I don't care if it was like a job or, you know, trying to achieve more money, achieving a spouse, trying to achieve just different objects in their life. It would just like it would overtake what their mind was on the Word of God and on their spiritual walk and took it worldly ways. And I would see them, you know, slowly fall off their track. And when you would say something to them, they're like, no, man, that's just helping me provide for my family. It's just helping me this. But everything you see, their whole life starts becoming that, and you know that ain't providing for their family. That's providing for their wants, not for their family. And you could just see how the enemy, most of the time, it's right when somebody's right in ministry and they're doing so good. I mean, people's coming up to them, they're ministering to a lot of people, people's getting saved, they're getting delivered. And their ministry is growing. About right that time, here comes something into their life. Hey, that looks good. Maybe I need to do that. Or something, you know, comes into their life. It smacks them away from what the Lord's doing in them. One thing you could do is always, see, the problem is, one of the biggest things is first of all, they didn't trust in the Lord with everything, with their finances, with all the things that they're falling short of. Because once you trust in the Lord for your finances, you trust in the Lord for your better half, you trust in the Lord for everything. He's supposed to provide for everything. You're supposed to trust in Him to provide for everything. Nothing from you, but all from Him. And a lot of times we're still holding on to a string, and we're still holding on to that, you know, money, or we're still holding on to that car, we're still holding on to this, we're still holding on to video games, we're still holding on to whatever it may be. We still got our foot in one bucket, and we won't let it out. So what happens is, when you're in ministry or God is really growing in your life, the enemy will use that one door to trip you, to pull you out of what God's doing. So it's always best that it's to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will provide for all your needs, not just that one need that you don't think He can. If He can provide for every one of your needs, don't you think He can provide for that one need that you have your foot in that bucket? I'm pretty sure He can. So, I can't tell you how many ministers I've saw that their ministry was going good. And there's a lot of ministers. Everybody will tell you, even the ones on TV, it became famous, they'll tell you, before I got this way, people drugged me down. People told me I couldn't do this. Something got in my way, but I went forward towards it anyway. I went forward towards it anyway. It did, you know, I didn't let it break me. Or somebody that's strong in the Lord, they say, well, there's been so many people who try to pull me down. I would not listen to them. I trust in the Lord for everything that I have, and He provided me fully with everything that I needed. And you see these people that achieves things in the Lord, that really brings people to the kingdom because they're actually living it and showing it. They're not trusting in worldly things, and that's one of the problems with people when they come to the Lord, that they still got their foot in many buckets, and what's the problem is the bucket starts going outwards, and before you know it, you did a split with one foot in one bucket, another foot in another bucket, and you can't move. That's the problem. You're in a split with a dag with feet in your feet in buckets, and you can't move. So the best thing to do is just take your feet out of all those buckets. I don't care whether it's money or video games or gambling. And you're kind of messing around with this one sin, but you're not sure that God can take care of your finances without going gambling all the time, or you ain't sure with if God can take care of your problems, so you still drink a little bit, or you know that those type of things, and you're still you trust in the Lord to take care of things, but not with just that one. I mean, He says, lay down everything and follow me. He didn't say just lay down a few things and come on. But He says, lay down everything and follow me. He wants to be your one and only, not your one once a week or your one every so often. He wants to be your one and only. You know, we're supposed to be His bride. Now, you know, folks, when we get married, your bride is your better half. you're gonna date her, you're gonna come up to her, you're gonna do the best you can for her, you're gonna subdue her, you're gonna come to her, you're gonna show her how good you are, you're gonna show her your love, you're gonna show her. Jesus is doing it. He's showing his love. He's pouring his love over us. He's showing us what he is. He's not a dried out, you know, something to better your life with words. He has the whole package, folks. I mean, a lot of us in the Lord have saw him heal people. We have saw him transform lives. We have saw him bring us out of bad things. We have saw him bring, you know, start transforming our finances, start transforming our families. We have saw this with our own eyes. We have saw people get out of wheelchairs. We have saw people get out of beds that's had cancer for years or cancer for months, and they're getting ready to die, and all of a sudden they get out of cancer. And just tons of things we've saw the Lord do. And we know nothing is not too big for him. If he is controlling the universe, what is your little life? I mean, how hard would that be? It ain't hard at all. He could easily take care of you. He could easily take care of you. Just like, you know, Moses in the desert. He supplied the Israelites with everything they need. With everything they need, but it wasn't enough. They got their mind, it wasn't enough. He provided them through, what was it? He parted the sea for them to keep from the Egyptians killing them. He fed them while they was there. When the Egyptians came through that hole and still tried to get them, he set fire down to protect them from their enemy. And just think, he can protect you from your enemy. He can protect you from people who's against you. He can change their minds. He wants you to pray for these people. He wants you to transform these people through your prayers. And one of the biggest things I've learned is, and it's very hard to learn this, though, is to love your enemies. He says, love your enemies. And we look at it, we're like, how do we do that? We just really despise them. The thing of it is, when you pray for your enemies, he transforms their heart, and he transforms yours too. That's one of the biggest ordeals I've ever saw a Christian learn, is to love. I mean, a lot of us don't have an idea about the love of Christ, what it is about the love of Christ. The only thing we have our mind on is the love of man, love of money, love of this, love of that, but we don't know how to love each other. That's one of our biggest problems. And a lot of people turns that in, gets that confused and turns it into something very negative instead of positive. And I've saw that. So we got to think about loving one another. We got to think about showing how being a brother in Christ, how being a brother to another brother in Christ, how being a brother to a sister in Christ. Always be there. Try to support them the best you can. I'm going to tell you, if that one person that you think don't have nobody, you step in their life and you just say hey or help them out with groceries, you know, whatever it may be, you might be the answer to their prayer. They might have been waiting for somebody to help them for years, and suddenly you're helping them. It might, you know, brighten up their day. I mean, you don't have to go out here and chase people down. I mean, if somebody just needs, you know, somebody help with groceries or something simple, that does so much to somebody's life. It does so much to somebody's day. And, you know, you don't know what that can do to somebody's day. And it's just all of that, man. I mean, it's just staying on your path. Don't let anything budge you on your path. If you're getting close to the Lord, and you're getting so close to the Lord, you're starting to see miracles. You're starting to see a transformation in your heart. You're starting to see, you know, your family change, and they're all coming to the Lord. You know, you're starting to see people come to you wanting prayer. They're coming to you knowing that you know the Lord real good, and all of a sudden something pops out, like, you know, you used to do video games or you used to do this, and all of a sudden you're like, come and do this, come and do this, and before you know it, one foot's in the bucket. Pick that bucket up off, folks. You know, stay with the Lord. Do what he's showing you to do. I'm telling you, you know, once you stick on that narrow path, it's worth it, man. It's worth it. He'll change you. He'll renew you. He'll cleanse you to where you have never been before. I promise you this. I promise you this. And I'm not talking about, you know, going to a church that talks, but you don't see no change. I'm talking about a Holy Spirit-filled church that you're seeing people getting transformed by the Spirit of God, transformed by the Word of God, You got to have both of those two for it to work. You can't have one with the other, without the other. You need both of those two to transform you. But what I'm saying, you go to a good, Holy Spirit-filled church. The Spirit there is to transform you inside out, and the Word is there to transform your mind. You get both of those together, you're going to be a changed man, I guarantee you. And you're going to be walking the right path, because that's what was meant to be like. It wasn't meant to be one without the other. It's always meant to be together. But one thing I was thinking about the other day while I was working, I was thinking about how the enemy has deactivated a lot of churches. He has found a way to get the power of God out of churches. He has found that way. He's got people so mad and so upset that they're not receiving anything that they completely cut it all out. And then when they do see the activation of God, they do see somebody get healed, they do see somebody gets transformed, they throw it off on something else. But I think that is coming to an end. I really believe the Lord is coming back. The Holy Spirit is coming back into your nearby church. He's coming back into your revival. He's coming back in your household. I believe He is coming back. I believe the Holy Spirit is filling these churches, whether they want it or not. He's making His way in. It might be some guy in the back is Holy Spirit filled, and he's there to lock their world up, because the Lord's going to use him to transform that church, to transform that Sunday school, to transform that Sunday morning. He sent this guy in there to release what is in him into that church, and he finally has, you know, ways to be opened up inside the church where he can help his church. That's our problem. He can't help our church because we won't allow him to help his church. Only thing he does is ask us is to allow. The Lord Jesus Christ is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will not come in you if you don't want him in you. He gives you invitations. He plants seeds for you to be drawn to him, but he don't take over you whether you want it or not. You've got to want him. You've got to receive him. You've got to ask him into your heart. You've got to have your hands open. That's our problem. There's a lot of people, they're sitting in pews on Sunday morning, but their hands ain't open. They ain't hungry for him. They don't want their lives renewed because they got Oprah and they got their pills sitting in their medicine cabinet. That ain't going to renew them. It might renew them straight to the pits of hell, but it ain't going to renew them to heaven, because one day they're going to have the answer to that. They've been sitting in them pews for 50 years and they have not been healed. Their spirit is not been fully transformed. Their mind is not transformed. The Lord Jesus is definitely not living in their heart, but they ain't really believed anything they're saying. They just went there to meet up with their family members and talk to their buddies from work. That ain't what the church house is made for. It's made to make you a new man. Your preacher is not sitting in your church preaching something to transform your mind. You're not getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ain't activating your church. You need to get up and go somewhere else. Because God didn't transform the body of Christ to sit there and be fed some type of stuff that they're promising you, but they can't produce anything because they don't know their selves. It says in the Word of God, you know, it says, you open your mouth, I will fill your mouth with my word. It doesn't say you got to sit back in the back room and make 50 paragraphs of some sermon or some story you got to tell up there and memorize it. It didn't say that. He said, I open your mouth and I will fill your mouth with my word. That's saying the Holy Spirit is going to put in your mouth what he wants you to say. Not all these different books you've read and all these things you memorize. He will fill your mouth, but you've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit for him to do that. That's the problem. They are not filled. They don't understand it. You know, I've been to people that's been to Bible studies and this and that, and they're wondering, why don't I feel this peace? What is this Bible, this book here I'm reading, talking about? I don't feel it. I don't see what it's saying. I don't understand the book of Acts because I've not seen it or saw it around me. I mean, folks, the book of Acts is the beginning of the Christian walk. It was the first Christians walking on earth. It was the first Christians walking on earth. They were seeing people speak in tongues. They were seeing lives being transformed. They were seeing dead being raised. They were seeing the cripples being losing their wheelchairs. They didn't have wheelchairs, but their canes, and walking everywhere. They were seeing this stuff. They were seeing the Holy Spirit being poured on them. They was singing in glory. They had all this stuff going on. They was being transformed. They was speaking in different languages all across the world. They was being transformed where they could speak in other countries. All this stuff was going in the first church. The Lord was going full force in the church. He was building his church. It was thousands. When the Holy Spirit was poured amongst the disciples, they went out and preached. The first day, it was thousands. The first day, the Holy Spirit was poured amongst the disciples. They was preaching, and thousands came to them. I mean, that's awesome. They didn't have to go and have an advertisement, have the best motorcycle in their church, or they didn't have to have the most popular speaker from down the road. The Holy Spirit brought these folks to them. They was wanting more of what the Lord Jesus had. They was wanting more of what the Holy Spirit had. They wasn't wanting what you had to say or what you could give. They was wanting the living God. They was wanting Jesus Christ. They was wanting the Holy Spirit. They wasn't wanting, you know, some good speaker or their coffee house. They was wanting the living God is what they was wanting. That's what we need, folks. We want the living God living within inside us. That's the only way you can transform. A self-help book cannot change you. The Bible is not a self-help book. It's a life-transforming book. And the Holy Spirit has to go with that Bible. They both have to work together. You can memorize for years. Without the Holy Spirit, it won't work. You've got to have that. You got to build a relationship with Christ. Because he is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resided in him. Holy Spirit resided in him. He was the first one it was poured into. So, folks, you need this. You need the Lord Jesus in your life. You need him transforming you where you can live in things above. Let him show you the things above. Live in the thing. And Christians, if it's nothing but Christians listening and it's not somebody just listening in is going to get saved, but, you know, live with your mind on the words of God. Live in your mind about having communication with Christ. You know, have a communication with him daily, and that will transform you. Let him be your best friend. Let him be your father. Let him be your brother, however you want to put him. He's there. He wants to be there for you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to provide for you. I was listening to 106.9. There was a lady that was in spousal abuse. She was being abused by her husband. And at the end of the relationship, it got to a point where her husband put her in a car and took her out to a train track. And she was worried. She didn't know what was going to happen, what he was going to do to her. He had no idea. And they went out in the middle of nowhere, and she just knew that her time was up, and she prayed to the Lord Jesus. She has never saw the power of God. She has never felt the presence of God, but she needed him now. She needed him right then because she thought her life was about over, and she had a kid at home that she needed to protect and raise. So she knew she had something there. So she prayed to the Lord Jesus. She said, "Lord God, if you're out there, I need you now more than ever in my life. I got a kid I got to raise. I can't end here. My life cannot end here. My life cannot end here." And then all of a sudden she said she felt the presence of God she's never felt before. She'd been in church all her life and never felt the presence of God. The presence of God filled that car up, filled her up, but that man was still beside of her. And all of a sudden a guy came out from nowhere. They've been searching for her. Her daughter called the cops, and they've been searching. Here comes a guy with a gun coming out from somewhere and saved her life and got him out of the car and got him arrested and took him off. But God was there for her in her vital moment, and he could be there for you in your vital moment. I don't know whether you've been in drugs. I don't know whether you've been on the streets. I don't know whether you're in a spousal abuse situation. I don't know what you could be in. I mean, you could be looking for a job, and you don't really know how to find one, and you want the Lord Jesus to open doors. He can do that. I mean, he can do that. He can transform your life. He's not only there for yourself. He's there for everything. He's there to transform everything in your life. He can open doors that you can't open. He can open doors that you can't open. I know I got another story here. I know a guy that he's behind bars, and he's been fighting the law by himself. He's not called in lawyers. He's been trying to do lawyer work and all that stuff, and trying to fight on his behalf, and trying to fight the courts on his behalf. He's never trusted God. He always trusted everything for himself. And one day I prayed for him. I said, Lord Jesus, help him get in his situation to open doors, and let things work for him. You know, just open doors where he can help him. You know, he's always trusted on himself. Lord Jesus, just help him. And I told him, I said, trust in the Lord. He will open doors for you. And I talked to him maybe, I don't know, whether a week later, and he said, you know, my case that I sent in through mail, because he can't go anywhere. He's in prison, right? He'd been working on computers and sending stuff in through the mail. And he said, my case won against what this prison has been doing to me, because the prison has been mistreating him. And he knew his rights. He knew he had no, he didn't have anybody to help protect his rights, so he sent things in through the mail, and come to find out that something he sent in to protect himself, he won that case, and they're going to treat him better in prison. So he quit talking. He quit trusting in himself, and he trusted in the Lord for once. And the Lord made things happen. That's our problem. We always trust in ourselves too much, and we don't trust in the one that created us. We don't trust in the one that can save our life. We don't trust in the one that saves our soul. We don't trust the one that keeps us out of hell, that died to keep us out of hell. That's one of our biggest things, is trust in that one and only, Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can take you to heaven. He is the only door. It's not Buddha. It ain't Joe Mama, whoever it is out there you're trusting in, or I don't know all these gods, but it ain't them. It's only Jesus Christ. It's only Jesus Christ. He is the one and only door to the Father. He says, I am the only door to the Father. I am the only door to the Father. Whoever believeth in me shall not worry. I mean, he is the only door. Trust in him, and doors will open for you. He will reveal himself to you. I guarantee you he will. And at this time, if anybody wants to receive Jesus Christ, just say this prayer after me. Just say this prayer after me. He will come into your heart. Just say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I accept you in my heart.
I accept you in my heart.
I repent of all the sins that I've ever done.
I repent of all the sins I've ever done.
I hand them to you and your cross.
I hand them to you and your cross.
I accept that you died for me.
I accept that you died for me.
I accept that you rose again on the third day for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to come upon these people in power right now. Lord Jesus, I ask you to just open their heart now. Come upon them in power. I ask you to baptize them. I ask people just to open, you know, keep your hands open, keep them out. And I'm going to ask for the Lord to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I ask you to baptize these people in the Holy Spirit. I command fire of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. I ask them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit as you did the 12 disciples on the day of Pentecost. Just come upon them now in fire. Just come upon them now. Fill their bellies up with rivers of living water. Just come upon them now, Lord Jesus. Just come upon them now. Just fill them up, Lord. Fill them up, Lord. Fill them up. Fill them up as you did the 12 disciples in the upper room. Just come and fill them up now in in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. That's victory in somebody's life tonight. Somebody just received
Amen.
Victory over the enemy. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Robert.
I had something that I was wanting to read. Let me see if I can find it. I just lost my page, but it was something. You just said, back January 26, 2012, Holy Spirit gave me this to write. He is the way to Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can access a relationship with our Heavenly Father in any way unless it is through Him. If you know Him, then you know Father, and you have seen Father through your relationship to Jesus. In John 14, 6-7, this may be a tough one to swallow, but by revelation from the Holy Spirit, I can say that I understand. The statement is dealing with the fact that there is no division between our Father and Jesus. Adam was to have the same relationship with Father, and he divided himself upon thinking contrary to his Father. His contrary thought was his act of disobedience to the commands he was given. Jesus is the way as promised because he was prepared to redeem mankind and reconcile the relation between Father and man. He is the way because his and only his sacrifice is capable of fulfilling the law and is able to give us total access to Father. When Jesus speaks, what we are hearing is only what Father says. When Jesus acts, it is only as we would see our Father do. It is true that he was Son of Man and Son of God. And for that reason, we should be able to see that we are capable of doing, saying, and living out our lives even as Jesus himself did. In John 14:12, he said, truly, if you believe this, the works that I do, and greater works than these shall you do. Jesus demonstrated Father's heart towards mankind every day of his ministry in healing our hearts, setting captives free from Satan's grip on humanity, curing disease and all afflictions, in calming storms, raising dead to life, and feeding thousands when they were hungry. This is a brief description of why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So trust in him and find your way to Father. And somebody did that tonight when they said that prayer and they believed in their heart that Jesus is Lord. You literally said that, Jesus, you are the owner of me. You gave up your life and gave it over to the Lord your God tonight. And you made a statement that every devil knows you belong to God from this point on. So just rejoice in the Lord for your new birth. You are a newborn creature in Christ. All things old have passed away, and you have been made new. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. So enjoy your salvation. Seek the Lord every day. Seek him diligently with all your heart. And make sure that you keep Jesus at the center of your attention and esteem the word of your Heavenly Father as the highest authority in the land. Amen.
Amen. Amen. At this time, when you was talking, I was showed a knee. I asked whoever's having knee issues, I asked you to put your hand on that knee. In Jesus' name, I command all muscles, I command all bones to be made whole now. I command all muscles to be renewed and be made whole. I command all bone, kneecap, to be fully repaired and restored now. In Jesus' name, I command all blood vessels to be fully repaired and restored now. In Jesus' name, I command all pain to leave that knee. If there's any arthritis, I curse and bind that spirit of arthritis, command to leave the knee now and go to the abyss now. In Jesus' name, I command you to break off of their knees. I command you to go to the abyss now in Jesus' name and never come near him again. At this time, I'm seeing the arms. If anybody's having arm pains, having broke arms, I command all muscles in the arms to be fully repaired and restored. All bones in their arms to be fully repaired and restored. I command all joints in their arms to be fully repaired and restored. Tendons fully repaired and restored and made whole. I command their arms to be made whole now in Jesus' name. I command their arms to be made whole now in Jesus' name. Any broke bones, I command the bones to be fully healed and transformed and restored now in Jesus' name. I command them bones to mend together now. I command them mend together now. In Jesus' name, the power of the Holy Spirit, I command life upon them now. Migraine, spirit of migraine, I ask you just put your hand upon your head. In Jesus' name, I command the spirit of migraine to leave. I bind you and rebuke you. I command you to leave now, to leave out of the rooms of their mind. I command you to break off their mind now. I command you to go to the abyss now. I bind you, rebuke you, command you to break loose now. I command all pain to leave. I command everything to break off their mind now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to bring peace to their mind now in Jesus' holy name. And so it is. I command all backs to be made whole. I command all discs to be made whole. I command all tailbones to be made whole. I command all the spinal cord to be fully repaired and restored. I command life to their back. I command life to their spinal cord. I command life to their backbone. I command all nerves in their back to be fully repaired and restored now in Jesus' name. Be repaired and restored now in Jesus' name. I command each nerve ending to be fully repaired and restored now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I just command everybody to have a touch of God now. Lord Jesus, just come upon each and everybody's listening to this. Just come upon them. Just fill them full with the Holy Spirit. Just refresh them. Refresh them with a full, a new pour of the Holy Spirit amongst them. If anybody is needing gifts open, I command those gifts of the Spirit to be open now. Gifts of the Spirit to be open now. I'm seeing a tape. I'm seeing like a old tape. We call the tapes we used to use in the 90s and 80s, cassette tapes. I'm seeing a cassette tape. Yeah, cassette tape. I'm seeing a cassette tape now. What I'm saying is, I don't know whether you're going to be hearing. You're going to be hearing the voice of God. You're going to be hearing something from the Lord. The Lord is going to be playing something in your mind. You're going to be hearing different things from the Lord. So just look out for that. And you might have a gift. There's going to be many gifts open now. I ask you just to open your hand, and Lord Jesus, just open gifts. Just give them gifts. Just give all the audience gifts right now. The Spirit, just open these gifts up. Just act like you got a present in your hand. Just open the gift up. Just open your gift now. Put it to your heart so I receive it. And that gift will be opened up. Lord Jesus, just hand all the listeners their gifts of the Spirit to be open. You might open up a box in your mind and see a key. Just accept that key and open that gift up in Jesus' name. I want to thank each and everybody that's listening to us tonight. I hope this broadcast has actually helped you in a way and brought a few to the Lord. If anybody has got a healing from this broadcast, has got saved from this broadcast, just go to the Healing Light Show page on blog, not on Blog Talk, but on Facebook. And just send us a message and let us know how things turned out. If you got a healing, let us know about the healing. Just let us know what we're doing here and like the page. And, just go ahead and put a follow on the Healing Life page. And what will happen is if you put a following on the Blog Talk page, every time that we get ready to start a show or we're going to advertise the show, it will come to your email on Blog Talk. All you got to do is follow it. Anytime that we get remake another show, it'll come right to your email, and it'll remind you of the show. And it's kind of awesome how that works. So, and actually, like it on Blog Talk, where we can see all the listeners on there too. It's kind of awesome. But I do want to tell everybody that next year we are planning to do 3 events for the Healing Light Conference. We're gonna try. Right now it's in the works. We're putting things together. We're gonna have one in Bradenton, Florida. We're gonna have another one in South Carolina, and the closest one is gonna be probably in March in Hickory, North Carolina. So we're trying to set these up. We're trying to get the conference leaders in and setting up, you know, the worship music. Well, we're just in the process now, but, you know, be looking forward to this happening. I might have the cross-life meeting happening maybe in a month or so. I'm still working on that too. So there's a lot of things going on around here, and we're thinking about doing a YouTube live feed show. We're going to be teaching live and be praying for people. And what's awesome is you can message in and let us know what you want us to pray for and talk to us on the live feed. So it's pretty awesome thing. And I will be advertising it when we decide to have a show or I have a show. I will advertise it on YouTube, and I will advertise it on Facebook and Twitter and all that good stuff, and Google Plus. It will definitely be on Google Plus. But it's going to be an awesome day in the Lord, and we're going to get to see people get healed, see them get delivered and transformed. I will have different shows where I'll just do healings. I'll do deliverances. We'll preach. You know, we'll have a little bit of everything, have a mixture of everything. So it's going to be kind of unique, and just see what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do with this show. So we've got a lot of things coming up, and I just ask y'all to stay tuned. And I just want to tell everybody this Saturday we're not going to have a show because we had one Monday, and I'm going to repost that where y'all can listen to it. And God bless every one of y'all, and y'all have a great weekend. Thanks, Robert, for coming on, as always.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of revival, let heaven rise.